Views expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of this station, its owners, staff, or management. The following paid program is sponsored by Azorian. Wondering who's in your cyberspace? Then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Charles Tendell Show, the show where you can learn how to protect your online business and personal information. Charles Tendell is a cybersecurity consultant and ethical hacker, and he's here to answer all of your cyber concerns.
Heads up, everybody. It's Peter Boyles. It's 5 p.m. Get ready for Hacked. You got problems with computers, kids are being bullied, somebody's messing with you. How about dating online? Charles Tendell forgot more about computers than most people know. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen, here's Charles.
6 minutes after the hour, it is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 a.m. Welcome into this hump day. This magical Wednesday, almost to the end, but not quite past the beginning. It's 5 o'clock, so I'm assuming if you're not driving home right now, you're probably headed to a bar or something similar, because it is 5 o'clock on a Wednesday. So welcome again. This is Hack, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. Today's show is going to be interesting. We're going to be talking to Megan Barth. She is the founder and proprietor of ReaganBaby.com, a nationally recognized political commentator, and we're going to be talking about, of course, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, because we're coming up in a world where it's going to be Hillary versus Donald. Some people are still holding on to that hope for Bernie out there, but I don't think the burn is going to make it. If you want to get involved, you want to communicate with the show, we've changed the website. You can go to thecharlestendellshow.com now. That's thecharlestendellshow.com. You can subscribe to the podcast, both on iTunes over on SoundCloud. You can check out some of the other things that are going on, the news, the blog, and things like that. You can shoot me an email to hacked@thecharlestendellshow.com. And you can see some of the other fun things that are going to be going on over there. If you are on your mobile device and you're hanging out and you want to send the show a text message, you can download the 1690 KDMT app from your favorite app store and join the conversation. If you've got a question over the course of the show, 303-632-4160. Number again, 303-632-4160 will get you on and involved in the conversation. So again, my guest this hour is going to be Megan Barth. Again, she's the proprietor and founder of Reagan Baby and nationally recognized political commentator. She's appeared on things like Headline News, CNN, Newsmax TV, One America News Network, America Trends, and Dr. Gina, as well as The Blaze, and has weekly regular appearances on a variety of other syndicated radio talk shows. Megan, welcome to the Charles Tendell Show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored. So tell me a little bit about your background. My listeners have never met you, and they probably would like to.
Yes. Well, I was raised right outside of Chicago, middle-class family, and started Reagan Baby last year because I was not seeing the truth in the headlines generated by the mainstream media, nor was I seeing the truth from many of our politicians on the national stage. And so as I was growing up in the Midwest, I was not able to vote for Reagan, but I certainly felt the effects of his presidency upon my family and my community. And as they were struggling through the times of Carter, they would often coalesce around the lunch table on a Sunday after church, and many of my relatives would kind of partake in a crossfire, so to speak, if you remember that political show, going back and forth between Carter and Reagan and Democrats and Republicans. So I was exposed to policy and political thinking at an early age, and I was exposed to Ronald Reagan at an early age, and at a time when character was king, I longed to see character, integrity, and the truth in media once again, and thereby I started Reagan Baby.
Well, it's been one of those things, though. I mean, that's kind of how I it was fun for me, because I ended up doing radio. I ended up doing broadcast because I had the support of a lot of great people over on our sister station on 710, and Peter Boyles and Casey over there are all great people that gave me my start. But the switch for me was I was presenting information to mass media, to normal mainstream media folks, and the only part they would get out of that was the headline of, you know, millions of people got hacked, but they didn't hear the this is how we can fix fix it part, and they didn't want to put all that out there. So the censorship became a huge issue. So I can totally agree with you on the lack of professional journalism in some cases, where people are just trying to control a headline and they're not giving us everything they needed, and we needed to get back to something more refreshing.
Right. And, it's funny because I don't consider myself a journalist because I do, operate with a bias. I'm a conservative. And this is the problem with journalism these days. There has been this crossover into what I would say activism rather than simply just reporting the truth, whereby they have an ideology that they must maintain and promote rather than seek out the facts and allow the public to decide. Mm-hmm. And so there's this whole impartiality that has been thrown out the window. And I don't speak, like I said, from a journalistic point of view, but I will gather the facts and support all of my beliefs or statements with facts that require a little bit of research.
Mm-hmm. Now, the bias that you approach some of these subjects with, that's got to become a kind of a controversy when you approach people who are stuck on the other side. I was having a conversation with my daughter the other night about her opinions on certain things, and I was saying, your opinions have to be based on something other than just how you feel. But presenting your facts to people, that's got to be something that kind of sets people on fire.
Sure, and I don't mind setting people on fire. I think that's part of what needs to be done, because there will be an aversion to the truth. The truth is very hard to look at and to accept, especially when you've been misled or if you've been misled into a way of thinking. Mm-hmm. So I come from a conservative background, a conservative thought, and, I believe that the Constitution is our greatest document and our rule of law. And so as I see this continually being trampled upon, I think just getting back to the basics of some inherent truths are always a good thing. And if that's my bias, then that's my bias.
Right on. Well, I think this is going to be a good show, because we're going to get some opportunities to talk about your views on Donald Trump and on Hillary, because everybody still believes that Hillary Clinton is going to be the presidential or the Democratic nominee, and they're still okay with that, and everything's still kind of chasing down that different direction. It's going to be one of those things where this is supposed to be a tech show, but it's Wednesday, and I think I can do whatever I want right now, and I don't think anybody's going to complain too much. So we're going to go...
Thanks.
And have a little bit of fun. Well, we're up against a break, so don't go anywhere, and we'll come back right after this. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendale Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Don't miss a minute of Market Wrap with Mo Ansari, the daily show that brings you the latest financial news, expert guests from around the world, and answers to your financial questions. If you missed the show on the radio, get the Market Wrap app and listen at your convenience. Just dial #250 on your cell phone and use the keyword Talk to Mo. Once you have the Market Wrap app, the show will download automatically to your smartphone every day. So dial #250 on your cell phone and use the keyword Talk to Mo to get the Market Wrap app.
Hi, it's Peter Boyles. I'm in my 70s now, and I really feel better than ever. I've had bypass surgery, come away from drugs and alcohol. All these things aside, the most amazing thing that's happened to me in these last couple years is meeting our great family friend, physician MD, Dr. Julie McCallum. She's changed my life, my daughter's life. She's a gifted healer, changing the lives of so many people. When everything is going wrong in my life, she made an enormous difference in me, physically and emotionally. And here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Julie McCallum.
There is often a lot of scare reporting when it comes to men taking hormones and other nutritional supplements. There's no question that as we get older, and Peter, you are living proof of that, all the things that your body produced when you were young are either diminished or totally gone. As I have watched your progress by following the Synagenics program, I have seen you drop 30 pounds of fat, gain muscle and strength, and become vibrant once again. I know the term turning back the clock is an impossible thing to do, but given our new scientific abilities, we certainly can revitalize men past 45. Call Synagenics Denver today to get your health back. 720-387-3681. That's 720-387-3681.
Are you buying a car? Are you excited about wandering all over town to find it? Or looking forward to wasting time on national websites with cars for sale on some lot or backyard in New Jersey? Well, here's a local resource, ColoradoAutoMall.com. Before you waste one more dollar, one more gallon of gas, or one more minute of your time online, go to ColoradoAutoMall.com, where local dealers show their local inventory one click away. It's virtual, it's user-friendly, and it's loaded with cars, trucks, boats, RVs, and motorcycles, new and used, from local dealers. ColoradoAutoMall.com.
Now, back to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Sometimes you just have to sit and enjoy that solo. And you know, I can do that because it is indeed Whatever I Want Wednesday. Welcome back. This is Hack, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. If you're just joining, you can go over to the website, charlestendell.com, and subscribe to the podcast. You can catch up on the past shows. You can see all of the things we've done before here because it's been a highly charged kind of political landscape. You can join the show and get a question through to me or my guest at 303-632-4160. Number again, 303-632-4160. Or if you got your phone in your hand, you can go to your favorite app store and download the 1690 KDMT app, and you can follow the show. You can check out all the other lineups on the KDMT station. You can go and see Connect and Collaborate. You can see Experience Pros. You can see all the other guys out there because it's great stuff, great personalities, and all talking about fun, different things. My guest today is Megan Barth, and I have a feeling this is going to spin off into a grand political conversation. Now, Megan, I got your information. I actually got forward your information because of the story of your cousin Clay, is how I heard about you the first time. And I'm a veteran myself. So thank you for your support, and thank you for sticking up for us and going out there and trying to keep us out of trouble and bring some awareness to things like PTSD and traumatic brain injuries and things of that nature. So thank you for everything that you're doing, and I hope that campaign for your cousin goes well.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So we've got this whole thing going on, and I am looking at your tweets and looking at your Twitter feed, and so you've got a bunch of stuff up there. You're anti-Hillary.
Absolutely.
Okay. Why?
Well, I don't think that a liar should be elevated to the highest office in our land, let alone on the global stage. I don't believe that she is fit to be commander-in-chief. I believe that her lack of accomplishments during her tenure as Secretary of State have produced dangerous results. I guess those could be accomplishments or the dangerous results. As you see the Arab Spring, and then you see the jihadi recruiting network that has been established now out of Northern Africa because of our overthrow of Libya as well as Egypt. When you see Syria and Russia and China begin to rise in aggression against our country, these acts of aggression can all be backtracked to her tenure as Secretary of State. Furthermore, I don't believe that she is fit to be president because she has defied the law and compromised our national security, not by having her own email address or 26 different email addresses, for the fact that she had her own private server, which was kept in an unsecured location and was not protected, as perhaps a government server might be, from cyber attacks by the likes of Lucifer and by the likes of other foreign agents and entities. So she has demonstrated a lack of will to follow the law. She has usurped the law for her own benefit and political gain. And like I said, I'm not the only person that believes she's a liar. 70% of the American people believe she's dishonest or is a liar. And she, I don't believe, will be elected, whether or not she gets the nominee. I still don't believe she's going to be the nominee. But I do believe that this election will be her to lose, because in the end, when you look at how people vote and you look at the demographics, people will vote for a leader who they can trust, and she simply is not trustworthy.
Well, okay, so let me play devil's advocate here for a minute. Okay, she had this server, right? She had her own personal email server, and I've been doing shows on it and been talking about it. And in fact, had a really good show yesterday that kind of revolved around the fact that it's gotten even worse. It's come down to the point now where it was kind of gross negligence, where she basically said, you know, I don't want to have to do security. I don't want to have to worry about it. This computer, this system is in my home. I shouldn't have to enter a password on this machine. I want to be able to just sit down and get to it. So she's sitting there with a machine that's potentially or has been confirmed to have processed classified information, various different levels of classification, with no password on it. She sits down and she starts using it. But the argument is it was in a controlled environment. And until Guccifer hit her aid, nobody even knew this server existed. I mean, members of the State Department knew that it existed. People around her knew that it existed. But she was also telling people to ignore regulations and do all this other stuff. But from her perspective and things that she's put out in the past, she said, hey, previous secretaries of state have done the same thing. Why am I any different? Why is this a problem for me?
Well, I don't think that she would have gone through the great lengths to protect her own privacy and would have made those lengths apparent to others in the State Department and to the Inspector General. But, oh, by the way, she never had an Inspector General in the State Department for the entire 4 years that she was there. So there was no watchdog over her tenure. She wouldn't have gone to great lengths to hide this information, and if it wasn't for the Benghazi Committee, we probably would have never found out about her private server.
Well, I mean, if Benghazi hadn't come out, we wouldn't have heard about the aid. I mean, Guccifer right, being the in my world, it's what we would call a script kiddie, and hopefully nobody out there listening takes offense to that. It means he's got skills, but he's not got the skills that he's portraying or pretending to have that would have made this such a grand hack. He didn't hack into, you know, a satellite and grab her email. He guessed correctly an AOL password to an aide and then pivoted into Hillary's information. But there's no way to say.
I don't know why that's so important to point out. Because of her actions, she violated national security. Period. I don't care how Guccifer got into her email.
Okay.
But the fact is they did. And so
okay,
if it weren't for the extra lengths that she has gone, and she did not duplicate efforts or mimic other secretaries of state, no one else had their private server, no other secretary of state had a Clinton Global Initiative, which was their foundation, who now is also being investigated by the FBI, and that is why I believe when she says, well, I wanted to protect my personal and private information, it was specifically due to the, and this is gesture, it is specifically due to the fact that she and her husband had set up the foundation and, somehow managed to get millions of dollars from Middle Eastern countries, which seemed to have a quid pro quo arrangement with those entities based on her tenure as Secretary of State. So as we continue to unravel this web that she created on her own, of her own doing, we will eventually get to the truth. And as we talked online, my whole purpose of starting ReaganBaby.com was to expose the truth. And so I do have trust in the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the, I think, 77 or 177, I forget the numbers, but the amount of investigators that are looking into her as well as her subordinates, as well as the Clinton Foundation. And I do believe that they will find whether it's RICO laws that were violated, national security documents that were exposed, what have you, I think they are going to find criminal activity, and I think they will recommend an indictment. However, I do not believe that the DOJ is just, and I do not believe that they will hand down an indictment. I do believe that the indictment, however, or the recommendation for indictment will impact her run for presidency.
Now, see, that's a whole different thing. I had a guest on last night, Dan Perkins, who the whole conversation was revolving around she's waiting and she's working this timing game about the indictment showing up just as she gets just on inauguration, because now it's moot. It really doesn't matter. You can't indict the president of the United States. You have to impeach the president of the United States if you want to remove this person from office. But Hillary Clinton got caught. I mean, we had General Petraeus, who was literally handing classified information to his mistress, and then that's a transaction. We don't know where that ended up. That could have ended up on a blog somewhere. We had the director of the NSA get his personal email hacked because he was just not using strong passwords or two-factor authentication or whichever it was. We've had countless other executives, OPM, the Department of Veterans Affairs, so on and so forth, that all got hacked and had millions of pieces of data dumped on the internet. Hillary Clinton's email server gets hacked, and the whole everybody's focusing around her email server. She had her own private email server, but no one's really addressing the fact that this is a mass problem. This is the government and as a whole using technology inappropriately or incorrectly or not understanding the systems they're connected to, and then trying to butter it up and get away with things like what she did. Now, I don't know. I know that the security on her server starting off didn't have encryption, which meant the way she was communicating to this didn't have encryption whatsoever. So anybody who was passing by could have intercepted this kinds of information. I also know that she had a printer that technically, if she ever printed anything classified off on this thing, made that printer a classified machine and should have been what's called air-gapped, but it wasn't. So she gets caught. All of these emails end up online. Guccifer makes major headlines. You're right. However she gets caught, she still got caught. But in the Army, we had a great saying. If one person does it, it's wrong. If everyone does it, it's the standard. So on one hand, we've got the entire federal government who's trying, kind of, sort of, not really, to understand security and to abide by their own security. You know, but we've got Edward Snowden and Bradley / Chelsea Manning. Right, they just walk in and walk out, and they're just leaking this information everywhere. How far different is Hillary Clinton? If she made the choice to do it, she was improper with doing it. Everybody else did it. Why do we care that she did it?
Everyone else did not do this. I'm sorry, but everyone else did not have their own private server, and everyone else did not say, "Hey, change this classified document to non-classified and fax it to me over an unsecured server." I'm sorry, but that did not happen with everybody.
Well, okay, so we'll take out the portion of just measures. The server.
She had taken extraordinary measures by having her own private server in order to protect her quote unquote private information, but also gave an order, which is also on my Twitter feed, which I think you see, that said, please change this document from classified to an unmarked document so I can read it right away. I'm sorry, but as a Secretary of State and as a former First Lady and as, a Senator of New York, if you are going to be appointed as Secretary of State, you are briefed as to what is and what is not classified, and a lot of that information may not be marked, but you should have a good understanding. She purposely built the server in order to protect herself from scrutiny and from being found out, because if it was not for the Benghazi committee, we would have never found out she had the server, and that was the intent.
Well, I mean, it was you're saying she built this to deal with her own privacy. She wanted to have the opportunity to contain all the information that she had access to in one particular place and make sure that if something crazy happened, she could take that off-site, she could have it on her own, or she could wipe the server. But we're up against a break, so we'll pick it up back after we jump over it. But the server itself is kind of irrelevant. I mean, we've got politicians all the time that are circumventing security. We've got other figures out there that are circumventing security to make life easier for themselves. And that's something that in my world, in the cybersecurity world, we see all the time. But you know what? We'll be right back. So this is Hack, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690. I'm talking to Megan Barth, and I'm loving this one. So it's Do Whatever I Want Wednesday. Don't go anywhere. Hack, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690 AM.
SRN News. I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Los Angeles police say a motive is unclear in a murder-suicide at a UCLA engineering building today. The bodies of two men were found in an office. So were a gun and what might be a suicide note. A fired Florida police officer has been charged in the fatal shooting of a legally armed black musician who had apparently thrown his weapon and was running away when the lethal shot was fired. Officer Numan Raja was arrested and charged with attempted murder and manslaughter in the October 18th death of Corey Jones. His SUV had broken down and he was calling a tow truck when Raja pulled up in an unmarked van and wearing plain clothes. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up by just 2 points today to close at 17,789. The NASDAQ rising by 4 points, the S&P advanced 2, and oil at $48.89 a barrel. This is SRN News.
The Colorado Business Roundtable brings you Connect and Collaborate weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 a.m. Hear from key leaders in Colorado's business community advocating for proactive business policies that strengthen the economy and help business grow and thrive in Colorado, as well as helping to make Colorado the best place to live now and for generations to come. Connect and Collaborate weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 and MoneyTalk1690.com. Has your child or grandchild been diagnosed with ADD or ADHD? Are they struggling in school? Well, give that child a life they deserve. Chronic Conditions Center of Colorado and Dr. Chris Steiner offer a drug-free solution that the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends.
We brought my daughter into Dr. Steiner because she was diagnosed with ADD. We spent 4 years trying different medications to no effect or benefit and went through the integrative medicine, and she no longer is on her ADD medicine, is performing better in school, and is a totally different kid from our perspective. And we can't thank Dr. Steiner enough.
So give your child their life back. Call Dr. Steiner at 303-660-2668 or visit them online at chronicconditionsco.com. That's chronicconditionsco.com.
This is Steve Replin, and I'd like to share a secret. No great business has ever succeeded without a great team. As a lawyer, a CPA, and a lender, I've advised more than 4,000 growing businesses just like yours. My system of fast-track business coaching integrates all of my skills for your business growth. To schedule a complimentary one-hour conversation to see how we can get your business on the fast track to growth, call me at 303-322-7919. That's 303-322-7919.
We now return to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
All right, welcome back. It's 33 minutes after the hour on Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. I'm talking to Megan Barth. We are having a fun I'm hoping, Megan, you still think it's fun, conversation about Hillary Clinton and all of the crazy stuff that she seems to be thinking, possibly, kind of, sort of, hopefully not getting away with. If you got a question for me or my guest, or you want to complain or tell me that I'm doing something wrong, 303-632-4160. Number again, 303-632-4160. Or if you've got your mobile device in your hand right now, jump over into your favorite app store and download the 1690 KDMT app. You can shoot me a text message. You can listen to the show live. You can check out all the other personalities in the KDMT lineup, from Connect and Collaborate to Experience Pros and all the other wonderful ones out there. Blah. You know what? Check out my buddy Jeff. He's over here too. Jeff Thompson, the retirement jock. All good stuff out there. But if you want to stay with this show, go to charlestendell.com or thecharlestendellshow.com. Subscribe, connect, and stay involved. Coming back to you, Megan. So before the break, we were talking about everybody, the whole global kind of overall epidemic that seems to be happening, at least from the hacker in me's perspective, that people as a whole don't care about security. They don't care about document classification. And as someone who has once had a security clearance, I know that as soon as anything touched that machine that was above confidential, that machine was classified at the highest level of whatever document that was. So if there was ever anything in there that was classified, that was secret, that was anything there, the whole machine becomes that. And at that point, it can only be used to process information classified at that level. Yes, I agree with you. She did purposely circumvent this system so that she could maintain positive control of all of this. But her argument is that she wanted to be able to keep it secure in her own way.
But that's not how it works. I don't care what her argument is. She is a state government employee, and the only employee of the state government who repeatedly refused requests from state security and IT to use a state government email system. She said she wanted to avoid the Freedom of Information Act, citing privacy grounds. She flatly refused to use the state government email for anything, even when the state contacted her and said, hey, look, emails are ending up in your spam folder that you need to see. And she still refused to do it. So the question I have is, why? And what is she hiding?
Mm-hmm.
What is so personal? It's not yoga positions. It's not planning Chelsea's wedding. It's not the multitude of lies that she has continued to tell since she took the campaign trail about her emails and about her server, which have been uncovered in an IG report totaling 80 pages. So the latest IG report is damning. And it's damning because it paints a very different picture of what she said and what the reality is. And it also exposes her to be the only state government official in history to refuse to use a state government email system, let alone the server.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's a Clinton, so it's naturally assumed that she's going to get away with all of this. And it seems that some people, a good chunk of people, because she is like right on the cusp of becoming the Democratic nominee, right? Some people believe
the Democrat Party, doesn't it?
Oh, I think that's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother show about angry Democrats, but that's insane. So it really raises the bar. It really asks the question of, we've got Hillary over here. She's doing what she wants. She's always going to do what she wants. She's a Clinton. They do what they want. And, you know, I would honestly love to be her for 20 minutes to get $250,000 to show up, pretend like I'm talking, let you lobby me for a few minutes, go back and pretend like I care. But it's one of those things. It's one of those things. Yes. Why? Why did she do this, and did she genuinely think she could get away with this? And you're right, if it wasn't for Benghazi, which tripped up and got all that got all the controversy out there, she wouldn't have become a target from the underground, from bad hackers out there who were out there just to gather information. But she got caught, and she's been trying to clean it up ever since. I mean, she's been wiping it with a cloth ever since, as Hillary likes to put it. So now that she's gotten caught, It's she has to come clean. She has to say why she did all this, and her story continues to be, I wanted to maintain my privacy. Which, I'm sorry,
don't serve in public office, and then don't establish a global initiative through a foundation that takes millions of dollars from misogynistic, tyrannical, and dictatorial regime to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars, and then have a loose quid pro quo arrangement that has been established quite well by a journalist. And you can really, and I think the FBI is also looking into this. So if she wants to remain a private person, then get the heck out of public office. I'd be very happy for that.
Well,
more people would be. We would be safe.
Well, she's a Clinton, so that's not going to happen. I mean, the only way, the road to power, all roads lead to the White House. And if you believe some of the conspiracies, you believe some of the other stuff that was going on there, this is predefined. This is preordained. It's supposed to be Hillary's turn. Like, that's where we're going to go. But then let's get to the meat and potatoes of this. If we have a Hillary White House, what does that mean for the country?
Oh God! You know, quite frankly, I haven't even thought about it.
The terrifying question.
Sleep well at night and eat a nice dinner. I think a Clinton White House would look very like the Clinton White House that they left behind, as well as the amount of death and destruction that's been going on in the world and the rise of terrorism.
Now, when you say it's going to look like the one before, do you mean that before or after they took the furniture out of the White House with them?
It would be that one, and it would also be the White House whereby she established a war room with Sidney Blumenthal that was purposely created to smear and publicly defame and humiliate many of Bill's victims. Hillary Clinton was an aide in the effort to smear and publicly disgrace Bill's victims as they came forward. She had a very active role in that. So I think we could see the use of federal agencies used against people that they simply do not like Jennifer Flowers. They used the IRS to attack Jennifer Flowers through multiple audits trying to bankrupt her. And they also did that to Paula Jones. And so they used they'll use their administration and their bureaucracies to target their political enemies, like Barack Obama did with the IRS, like Barack Obama did with the DOJ and the EPA. So I don't think there's going to be much difference between a progressive administration under Barack Obama or a progressive administration under Hillary Clinton when it comes to their political enemies. I also think that you're going to see, just like I said, more angst and more rise of terror in the world. The Russians think she's a joke, especially after she gave them a red plastic button that didn't translate correctly, that wanted to reset the relationship. She basically overthrew Libya and Egypt and handed over the keys to the Muslim Brotherhood. And I think that's also with help of Uma Abedin and Valerie Jarrett. And so you look at the Clintons' history. They are the ones that bombed the crap out of the Protestants and Catholics over in Yugoslavia and protected the Bosnian Muslims. They've always chosen the wrong side when it comes for liberty and freedom. They always align themselves with the despots. And I think that you will also again see, as Hillary Clinton has done throughout her tenure as Secretary of State, align herself with despotic regimes.
Now, why is that? Why is it, I mean, from my perspective, from an outside perspective, looking at all of it, it's a power grab. Hillary Clinton is aligned with the Clintons are aligned with where the money comes from. And that's, I mean, they have an infinite amount of funds that they can put toward anything. And once they couple that with a Hillary White House, the possibility is crazy, but if they combine that with a Hillary White House, they become the most powerful people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And they will use that.
That's all this is about. Yeah, it's just the accumulation of power. It's always been about the accumulation of power. I mean, for my God, she wrote her master's thesis and dedicated it to a man, Saul Alinsky, who dedicated his book to Lucifer. She was a protege of Saul Alinsky. The woman was a radical before
We're about to come up against one of our last breaks, and I apologize for cutting you off, but we're going to run out of time in this segment, so don't go anywhere. We're going to jump over this one, and we're going to come right back after it, but it's going to be mind-blowing, so don't go anywhere. Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Money Talk, 1690 AM.
I woke up last night to wind and hail. The wife was screaming. The kids did wail.
Look at our room.
They cried and cried.
The outside of the house is now inside.
The ceiling caved in.
New insulation.
Everything's leaking.
Everyone's freaking. When my know-it-all neighbor came over and said,
you know who I like.
Who?
Golden Spike.
Hi, this is Spike McCarthy, and our promise to you is roofing done right to the last nail.
Call Golden Spike Roofing when your roof needs a fix. 303-942-1386. Golden Spike Roofing.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I wanted to share some of my experiences with Go Sober. I am a business owner here in Colorado and had been thinking about going sober literally for about 4 years. One of my biggest choices about going with Go Sober was that I'm a pretty private person, and when my alcohol addiction started, it started very privately. And when my rehabilitation started with Go Sober, it allowed me to rehabilitate privately. And having the flexibility of not having to go into a treatment program, going away from my family, away from my job, the infusions allowed me to put a reset button on loving myself again. My first infusion, I could go right past that neighborhood liquor store and not even think about stopping in and grabbing a bottle of wine. What's next for me is rediscovering all those things that I've lost.
Call Go Sober at 303-827-4837 or visit their website at gosober.org.
Now, back to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
And welcome back. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. If you want to stay connected to the show, check out thecharlestendellshow.com. You can get the latest shows, the podcast archives. You can see the notes. You can see all the people that I've talked to. You can connect to them on their social media, and you can ask questions. If you've got your mobile in your hand, download the 1690 KDMT app and shoot me a text message. Listen to the live stream on the show. Get notifications for things that are happening later. And, of course, if you've got a question for me or my guest, 303-632-4160. Number again, 303-632-4160. So, Megan, right before we went to the break, it was a power grab. It's still a power grab. It's always going to be a power grab for the Clintons. So we know what we're getting with Hillary Clinton. We know this, right? We know the world we will probably find ourselves in. It'll be more of the same, and we'll have more of an increase of tension around the world. Because, I mean, it's just a bad idea, you know, and most people see that. But let's flip the coin. On one hand, we've got Hillary Clinton. On the other hand, we've got Donald Trump.
Yes.
What do you think there? What does a Trump White House look like?
Well, I think, you know, he came along. It's kind of the perfect storm for the rise of Trump and for Trump candidacy. And we see this, obviously, for him grabbing the nomination earlier than any other candidate in the history of the Republican Party. And why is that? Well, we've got some driving and motivating factors. Number one, we've got a need for jobs. American people are not immune to NAFTA. We've obviously seen NAFTA crush a lot of the Rust Belt states, as they say. We have the Barack Obama EPA bankrupting the coal industry, which these people in the Rust Belt are feeling. And we also have a surge in illegal immigration as well as legal immigration across our southern borders, which are and our visa programs, which are impacting not only our jobs but our safety and security. So this election will be about the safety and security of the American people and jobs and the economy. So along those lines, Trump speaks to those needs more so than any other candidate had on the Republican side, and certainly more so than on the Democrat side. So when he says he's going to build a wall and Mexico is going to pay for it, people want to hear that. People want a wall. We have been asking for a wall since the time of Reagan. As you know, I'm a Reagan baby at ReaganBaby.com. You know, Reagan granted amnesty, but he did so because he was promised that a wall would be built. So now we're looking 30 years later, and we still have no wall. And so people are fed up with politicians telling them one thing, which can be related to the Republican Party, and then doing the complete opposite. So as this election is also about jobs and security, it's also about people looking to the outside of Washington, D.C. to fix what is inherently and so badly broken. All of the promises that have been made to them were broken.
Well, wait,
the American people were broken. And so they are Reagan, putting their trust and their faith in outsiders.
Right. Like you said, so Reagan even mentioned something about a wall. You know, people have said in the past that they wanted to be able to have control of immigration. 30 years later, we still haven't gotten it. What makes Trump any different? Mm-hmm. What is Donald Trump going to do that's going to change all of that?
Well, we hope that he, number one, has a very good cabinet and a very good vice president that has legislative experience, which can actually push some of his initiatives through the halls of Congress. I don't believe he's going to act with the executive authority like the past president did. We are still a nation of laws. We still do have a constitution. We do have a balance of power. And no laws can be written that does not come out of the legislature. That might be news to the constitutional scholar Barack Obama, but that is actually how the system works. Mm-hmm. So I think that he will coalesce a very strong team and a cabinet, which will include a vice president, that will get what he wants done for this country. And when a builder and a developer, a global builder and a developer, tells you he's going to build something, people tend to believe it because he's done so before.
Well, and when like he becomes president, he's no longer a builder or a developer. When he becomes president of the United States, he's president of the United States, and now he has to get other people, Congress, to build for him. He can make these statements, he can make these claims, and he can promise these things to people, but it's all about the people below him or around him that are going to be doing the work. Now, as I've said it in my circles, Trump was the outlandish card that was banked on, if you believe the theories that this was all orchestrated. He was banked on as being the completely unnecessary, out there, crazy person who was going to, even if he got the nomination, there's no way anyone in the country is actually going to elect this crazy guy. But he came out swinging. Trump started to take himself seriously and started saying the things that people wanted to hear. Now, I've heard a lot of different sides with Donald Trump. I've heard about racism. I've heard about, you know, his bigotry. I've heard about all these other wonderful things, but I like to study things. I've heard people tear apart his draft dodging, air quote, and, it's like, you know what? He did all of the things that you would have done if you had been given the opportunity, so he's not wrong there. But Donald Trump is a businessman. And there's something to be said about when you're a businessman, when you're a CEO, you say jump and people say how high. When you're the president of the United States, you say jump and people have to form a committee to see how high that's going to go.
that's true. But here, if he does get the presidency, which I believe that he will be elected, when you see especially the size of the rallies and especially if he's going to be going up against Hillary Clinton, it's amazing what he has been able to do in just such a short time. And I believe that will read well down to through the ticket. So if Trump walks into the White House with a resounding majority behind him and is elected, there are congressmen that are going to follow the lead because they don't want to lose their power. They do not want to be if he says, "I want a wall built," your congressman says no, you elected Trump, you are going to do everything you can to unseat the congressman that said, "No, I'm not going to build a wall."
Well, see, I don't think it's that either. I think this is Donald Trump. He's been in politics since his father and probably his father's father. It can go as far back as you want to. But I was watching the CNN documentary on the 60s, right? And as I'm watching all of these things, and I'm like, man, people that are in politics now, the Romney family, the Clinton family, people that are in politics now have been in politics since then. So Donald Trump is not new to this game. And as I was telling my wife, Donald Trump either owns or is owed money by most of the people in politics right now. So no one's going to challenge him because you get in there and you say, "No, President Trump, I'm not going to help you. I'm going to step out." Then you're right. He is going to delete them. And we're going to have a bunch of Anthony Weiner situations happening where personal pictures and things are all over the Internet. And, you know, Trump's going to call in and pretend to be somebody else and leak some information. Does that make a good president?
Well, I mean, I think you're kind of assuming quite a bit of what he would do as president against his perhaps political opponents. But I think what would be more likely to happen is that if he does walk into the presidency with a resounding win, and he carries multiple states, whereby you have the senators and congressmen that are a part of that and within Congress, they are going to take his lead, especially if they're Republicans, and especially if we maintain the control of the Congress. of getting things done, because this is obviously, with his presidency, what the American people want. I do believe that he is going to redo a lot of the trade negotiations that have been, you know, decades old that need to be revisited. And I think that he will have the cooperation of the Congress, especially if he appoints a cabinet that will be able to help him negotiate the waters that will be in front of him with Congress and just the legislative process as a whole.
Well, okay. But again, every sitting president that comes in there on Inauguration Day, right, they've got to spool up Congress. They've got to spool up everybody in the government to be able to align with what it is that he is going to be doing. Now, Barack Obama really didn't get anything done in his first 4 years. He came up with a lot of ideas. He started machines in motion. But nothing really happened until either the end of his first term or the beginning of his second. So Donald Trump coming in and saying, we're going to build a wall. Well, you got 4 years to build a wall. I've seen Donald Trump put up towers in as little as 6 months. But I don't think he can build a wall in as little as 6 months across the entire southern border. I think he's going to rally support from Border Patrol, and I've got friends who are in that environment. I've got family who used to be in that environment, so I know they'll support him. But what about the people who are way over on the Hillary train? What about the people that are still there that have been holding out this entire time? How is he going to sway them? How is he going to get them
on board? He's not. He's not. But Democrats will never be swayed to build a wall. It's not in their best interest. An open border is a Democrat's dream, because when you look at the demographics of immigrants, they resoundingly vote Democrat. So they have a motive and a motivation to keep the border open. If you look across the country, most sanctuary cities are Democrat-controlled cities. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to building a wall, the Democrats want no part of that. Remember, they want to build a bridge. They don't want to build walls. But, you know, you only have to look back as far as Reagan to see how an effective Speaker of the House can get things done, or even Clinton. An effective Speaker of the House, actually, it'd be more Clinton. An effective Speaker of the House can get things done, and that was Newt Gingrich. Mm-hmm. He actually got welfare reform and immigration reform done under President Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
So things can happen with people in power. The influence that needs to happen will come from positioning the right people in the right positions of power.
Right on. Well, Megan, we're coming up on the end of the show. It's been a fantastic show, and I love having you as a guest, and I'm definitely going to have you come back. But tell people how they can get a hold of you, how they can follow what you're doing and get involved in your situations.
Okay. Well, you can go to ReaganBaby.com, and right after we hang up, actually, I'm publishing a new piece called The Viral and Deadly Consequences of a Borderless Nation, and that has to do with the spike in TB, the first time TB has spiked in this country in 30 years, and can be directly related to the refugee resettlement program that the Democrats are championing right now. So they can go to ReaganBaby.com, they can go to Twitter, Reagan_baby, or if they're on Facebook, which everybody is, I have a Reagan Baby fan page.
Right on. Well, I mean, I've enjoyed talking to you, and I've been listening to a lot of things that have been happening in this world. And I heard something the other night. I heard something that this was back in the 60s. We've heard about reform. We've been talking about reform for so long. We've been talking about reform since this country was founded. Is it time to start talking about reform and time to start talking about, I don't know, revolution? That would be something crazy.
Well, and I think that actually a Trump would be quite a revolutionary, historic piece of our history, having a complete outsider from politics, a businessman, come in and change the course of Washington. You know, you see the revolution rising behind Trump. You see the people rising up. They're Democrats, they're Hispanics, they're women, they're men.
Well, Megan, we are out of time. We are out of time. It's been a fantastic show. I'll definitely have you back, and I'll shoot you over an email thanking you again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you missed it, this has been Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. Head over to thecharlestendellshow.com. Subscribe. I'll be back at you tomorrow with all kinds of stuff going on.